Okay, so today's reading is from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he may be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Thank you.
Well, good morning to you all. And I think I saw Mitra. Did Mitra walk in? There we are, Mitra and Armin and Ari. Is Ari there as well? Ari's not here. Fantastic. Congratulations on getting your leave to say. Did I see Ibi? Well, fantastic. Did Ibi come in late as well? There we are over there. Fantastic. Congratulations to you too. We were talking about you behind your back before you arrived, so it's great to talk to you face to face as well. Well, Happy New Year to you. It's fantastic to see each other this first Sunday in the new year. I want to ask you a question. I've got some various things in a bin that Tanya found around the back there that I can put my stuff in today. I want to ask you a question. Did anyone here get a pet or pets for Christmas? Raise your hand. Jude, you did. Yes, I knew there would be at least one answer. What pet did you get for Christmas, Jude? Gerbils, yes. Fantastic. Did someone raise their hand over here as well? No. Did anyone wish that they'd got a pet for Christmas? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, quite a few, yeah. No, mums and dads and grandchildren as well, so yeah. Here's a big question. If you've already got a pet at home, or you did get a pet for Christmas, or you would like a pet, but you still not got it, what kind of pet would it be? What do you like? What do you dream about having a pet? What do you think is so good about the pet that you've got? Have a little chat with the person sat next to you, and then I'll ask you to feed some stuff back to the front. All right, that's enough chatting about pets. Anyone want to shout out the kind of things you like about the pet you've got or would like about the pet you've not got, but that's the reason we'd like it? Anyone want to join in? Don't all hold back. Yeah, Ben. You want a guinea pig? Did you tell your dad that? He did, yeah. How about you, Chris? You want a well-behaved dog? Okay, you need to say you're doctor training, don't you? Okay, anyone else want to join in and shout anything out? Yes. You want a snake? Wow. There was once in my family where our children had three snakes. Way. There we are. We had them at the same time as gerbils. We try to keep them apart. Fantastic. Yes, at the very, very back over there. You were just tricking me, weren't you? There we are. Set me up for that one. You have got something to say. A chicken? Do you keep chickens, did you say? Oh, wow. And your eggs? Oh, wow, they are. Big round of applause for the chicken and the eggs over there. All of this, I know some of you are guests and visitors today, and you're thinking, wow, what kind of sermons they normally have at Christchurch Central? They talk about pets and all that kind of stuff. There is a point to this. We'll get to it in just a little moment. Here at Christchurch Central, we have been looking in John chapter 1 during Advent and at Christmas, and it has helped us to celebrate one of the greatest and momentous and most wonderful of all miracles in all of the history of the entire universe. God became a man in Jesus. God was born as a little baby. And John chapter 1 has been helping us to celebrate and to grow in these things and to love God all the more, knowing that he first loved us and sent us his son. So God became a man. It means that if you want to know anything about God, go to Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to hear God speaking, pick up a gospel, like Mark's gospel that Fee mentioned earlier on. We're looking at Christianity Explored, and read it, and you will hear God speaking as you hear the words of Jesus, as Jesus taught. Our verse today, Chris, can we put it up on the screen for us? There we are, simple words there. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, and the words we're focusing on today from John chapter 1 are these: behold, that is, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We're going to look at each little phrase one by one. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin, who takes away the sin of the world. So first of all, the Lamb of God. Let's go back to our pets. Here in my bucket, I have a little lamb. Ah. You're going to say, ah, ah. That's what we do. So when we see little cute little creatures like this, we go, ah, oh, isn't that sweet? And when we see cuddly little lambs, then we often think about pets, don't we? And we think of a cuddly little lamb as a sweet little pet that we would love to have at home and perhaps tickle its chin and listen to it talk to us and give it its milk and all the rest of it. So we got our verse on the screen, and it says, behold, the Lamb of God. So when we think about Jesus being the Lamb of God, does it mean that Jesus is all cuddly like a lamb? Does it mean perhaps that he's gentle and meek and kind and humble? Well, he is all those things. I don't know if he was cuddly, but certainly was, as we read about Jesus, as we get to know Jesus, we find that Jesus really is very gentle, very gracious, very meek, very humble, and very, very kind indeed. But those aren't the things that are being talked about when it says, behold, the Lamb of God. You see, way back in the Old Testament, a long, long time ago, in the book of Exodus, we read the story of how God's people escaped from slavery in Egypt, and it involved lots of little lambs, sweet little lambs. On one terrible night, God came in judgment on sin, on rebellion, of everybody who lived in Egypt, not just the Egyptians, but his own people too. We read in the Bible that the angel of death came, and in every single home in Egypt, the firstborn child died. Except in the homes where a little lamb like this one had died, had been sacrificed, and its blood had been put on the doorposts of that home. Then those homes, the angel of death passed over. Call it Passover. So a little lamb died. In one sense, it's absolutely, well, in a real sense, it is absolutely wonderful. Because in all of those homes where a lamb had died, no one in the family died. But it's sad, because in all of those homes, a little lamb had died, and its blood had been put on the doorposts of that home. So here's why, in reality, I don't think there's anything wrong about when I get a little lamb, cuddly little lamb, I like that, everyone goes, ah, and goes, oh, it's just like a little pet. So I'll tell you why. Because In those days then, those families went out and they got a little lamb 2 weeks before it died. And they brought it out of the field or out of the shed, and they brought it into the home. And no doubt in the home, everyone started treating the little lamb like a pet. And no doubt, well, it was there long enough to be given a name. Who wants to name this little lamb? I've not given it a name yet. Yeah, your hand was up by far the quickest. What are you going to call the lamb? Sorry? John. We're all going to run with John the lamb. Are we all happy with that? Any alternative? I've never heard of John the lamb. Okay, so here we have John the lamb. Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed for naming John the lamb. So we've got John who wrote the gospel. We've got John the Baptist who said this. And now we have John the Lamb as well. John the Lamb. In the morning, after that lamb had died, sorry, am I causing static? Is that all right now? In each of those homes back in Exodus where a little lamb had died, in the morning, I guess a lot of the children in the families, well, in a family where John the Lamb was, all the little children would have got up in the morning and said something like this to their mum or to their dad or to their grown-up and said, "But why did John die? Why did we put John's blood on our doorposts?" And mum and dad or the grown-up in the home would say, "Well, John the Lamb died so that you and I didn't have to die. Died for us." And that's it's very poignant, that, isn't it? It's a very sad moment because the lamb had been in the home long enough for them to get to know it, become a part of the family. See, they were supposed to feel that they'd lost a member of the family, because it should have been a member of the family who died. And this is why John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," speaking about Jesus. See, God in Jesus came and joined our family. He joined the family of the human race. And he came and died, and his blood was shed so that the angel of death, God's judgment, would pass over you and pass over me. That's why little John the Lamb, we call him that, had to die to take away sin. That's the next phrase. John saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," I just put that little lamb down there, "who takes away the sin of the world." Now, I think this is absolutely wonderful for us today. Today is the first Sunday in the year. And I guess that looking back over 2021, there's my little chart of 2021. There have been plenty of things that you have thought, plenty of things that you have said, plenty of things that you've listened to that you shouldn't have thought, that you shouldn't have listened to, that you shouldn't have said. There have been plenty of things that we've set our hearts on in 2021, and plenty of things that we've looked at that we shouldn't have set our hearts on and shouldn't have looked at. And we know from what the Bible says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away all of our sin, the sin of the world." Which means that we can actually start a new year. It's a wonderful verse for the first Sunday in the new year, because we can start the new year with a completely clean sheet. We can start 2022, knowing that we have been completely forgiven by the Lord God. There is no crushing guilt too heavy that Jesus can't lift. There is no sinful habit repeated that Jesus can't root out. He can give us a completely new and a completely fresh start. There is no self-centeredness. There is no self-pitying so ingrained that Jesus can't transform it. There is nothing that Jesus can't forgive and wash away. We can leave the old behind and we can start the new. And that is absolutely wonderful, and it is absolutely brilliant at the beginning of a new year. And you know what? We will, over the next year, guaranteed we'll come to the first Sunday next year, and we will have thought and said and listened to and loved stuff that's all wrong. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, shed his precious blood already for those things. So it means, actually, when you've given your life to Jesus, you always have a clean sheet. Isn't that fantastic? It means that we can start the year ahead not thinking, oh, that's fantastic. Always going to have a clean sheet. That means I can do whatever I want. No. We end up with a fresh heart motivation that says, I'm free. I'm free to love God. I'm free to listen to his word. I'm free to say a kind word and to share the scriptures with others. I'm keen and free to look at the Lord and see where's he leading me and to follow in his ways because I'm forgiven. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There we are, got a world there. Final thing in my bucket there, the world. Jesus died for the sins of every single girl, every single boy, every woman, and every man in the whole world who had put their faith in him. Which means that I could go anywhere on this globe and pick out any country. The one nearest to me right now is Chile. Or I could go, I don't know, to New Zealand. Or I go to Madagascar. Anywhere in the world, Jesus' blood was precious enough to pay for the sins of anyone, any boy, any girl, any woman, any man. He was the perfect Lamb of God who gave his life for us all. I think it's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? I mean, doesn't it make you thrilled and excited? I reckon that most people in the room today, you have not heard anything new. You've not, have you? But is it not wonderful? Is it not precious? For us as a church family, and if you're visiting us today, your own church family at home, to head into this next year with an ambition and a heart to say to other people around us, other Christians, because we'll keep on forgetting. You know, things will clock up in the coming year, will get us down, will make us depressed. Our old sin will catch up with us again. And we will need someone else saying to us, Tim, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Don't forget, Tim. And what a wonderful message we have for the world around us. We've this last year refreshed our values as a church family to come to Christ. That's the first one. To belong to his family, the church family, and to love our neighbors. That is, to know God loves us, to love him, and then to want to share his love with the world around us. And this coming term, January through to Easter, we're focusing on that love our neighbors, and especially thinking how we can love our neighbors by saying to them, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, your sin, my sin. Live in freedom, live in peace, live in joy. We're going to sing our final song now, so the band are going to come out. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. The universe is ruled by the Lamb of God. Let's stand and let's worship and sing and praise his name.